Okay, I want to also always thank Eliezer and the Shriers for opening up their bias. Good vach to everybody. These are very, very holy days, very special days. All the days of Tishrei, but specifically as we were metar ourselves, purify ourselves during the Heilige Yontif of Yom Kippur, were those few days right after, and preparing for the Yontif of Sukkos, we'll be sitting in the sukkah, surrounded by the chibuk, the hug of the Ribbono Shalom. So these are very holy days, very special days. And hopefully we still feel, each and every one of us, only a few days after Yom Kippur, hopefully we still feel the inspiration. Sometimes that's hard, and we lose it, but being that we go straight into a yontiv, often that helps us stay on that level, and that feel that closeness with the Ribbono Shalom. But I want to focus on one avoda for Sukkos that I think is a very different avoda than Yom Kippur. Although, on some level, should have been part of the avoda of Yom Kippur, for sure. You know, the schus to be, as some of us were speaking for a moment before, in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur. And one of the highlights of every time I'm in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Kippur is not just Yom Kippur, but Erev Yom Kippur. A lot of highlights during Erev Yom Kippur, but specifically the night of Erev Yom Kippur, being zoicha to be in the Old City, overlooking Kaisel Maravi, year after year I'm on the roof of Yeshiva and Tevarieh. And I'm sure you all saw, I sent out a picture, I'm sure you saw other videos perhaps, of the Erev Yom Kippur Slichos at the Kaisel, where you're together with, they say, over 100,000 Yidden. And it feels that way. I mean, it's incredible. You can't explain it if you're not there, even if you see the images. I mean, literally, they close off the Old City. They don't let people into the Old City at some point because there's just too many people. And you can't even move in the Old City. The Kaisel backs up through the entire Old City. There were slichos going on, I was told. I wasn't there. But literally, outside, like the bagel stores, Holy Bagel and Chavez Nesh up by the Rova. So there are people that couldn't get further than that, and they just were saying slichos and having their minion over there. That was the closest they were able to get. It's an amazing scene, an amazing kedusha of preparation for this very, very holy day. But one aspect specifically I want to point out is the incredible achdus of Klal Yisrael. On this night, you'll see every single type of Jew you could imagine. From what appear to be the frumest B'nai Torah and B'nai's Torah, to chilonim in mohawks, tattoos, earrings, coming to daven together. And it's incredible unity. And I always think about that achdus, that togetherness, as such a tremendous schus for Klal, not just the tefillos, which obviously are incredible, but the unity, which is incredible schus for Klal Yisrael, as we enter into Yom Kippur. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to have this achdus. And on Yom Kippur, sometimes we forget about that a little bit. Because Yom Kippur is such a day between Bein Adam L'Makom. Yom Kippur is a day where we're in shul all day, davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's very little interaction amongst each other. We hardly speak to each other. It's such a long day of davening. Some of us are in shuls. There's no break or a 10-minute break just to catch our breath and maybe close our eyes for a few moments. There's very little interaction, very little talking, very little conversation, very little ability to even practice Bein Adam L'Chaverah. Yet it's so much an aspect of Avodas Hashem. I've shared this before, how my Rebbe, Rav Nachman Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Baruch Hu, used to tell us that Rav Chaim Shalevitz, his Rebbe, the Shiva Demir, Zatzal, on Yom Kippur night, he would always, when he'd speak, after Ma'ariv, he'd always just talk about Bein Adam L'Chaverah and how we treat each other. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to see that so badly. I was thinking about it, Leil Yom Kippur of the schus after davening to go down to the Kaisel and give a shir, give a shmuz, give chizik to all the Talmidim that I'm with and many other people join. It's an incredible, one of the highlights of my year. And then to sit by the Kaisel all Leil Yom Kippur till very, very late at night. First talking to Talmidim and then when the last Talmud leaves, sitting by myself and able to daven and some introspection by the Kaisel Maravi, Leil Yom Kippur. It's an incredible, words can't even express what the feelings are. was talking to one particular Talmud this year at the Kaisel, and what he wanted to discuss with me, different relationships in his life. And specifically he said to me how he was having a little bit of a, not getting along so well with one of his siblings. And he said to me a line which was so powerful, how he said he knows that besides for the fact he obviously wants to reconcile and get back to a good place with his sibling, but he knows his parents are never fully besimcha, and never fully besimcha with him when he's not getting along with his siblings. And he understood that. And therefore for his parents as well, he thought it was so important that he gets to a good place. And we were talking about it. And I was thinking about it afterwards at the Kaisel. So too that Eibishter. The Eibishter is Avinu Shebashamayim. He's our father. And as a father, we're all his children. And every parent wants their children to be getting along. It hurts them. It's so hard for parents when they see children not getting along. And it hurts the Rabbanu Shem if we don't get along. And if we're getting along with each other, and we're giving each other, and we're caring for each other, so it's a schus for us as well. A tremendous schus that the Rabbanu Shem will bring us kapara and tahara and kedusha and all that we were looking for Yom Kippur and continuously. I saw a remez l'davar by the Beis Aaron of Karlin. In Parshas Truma, it's talking about the Aaron. And we all know on top of the Aaron were the Kruvim, those angelic figures. And the Pasuk says about the Kruvim, Upneim ish el achiv el hakaporas, that their faces were looking at each other. That's how they generally were, at least when we were doing what was right. Chazal teach us. El hakaporas, and then it says el hakaporas. Towards the cover, towards the kaporas. But b'derech drush, in a deeper level, the Beis Aaron says, when pneim ish el achiv, when our faces are towards each other, when we're looking at each other and caring for each other and doing for each other, and we're not only concerned with ourselves, but pneim ish el achiv, we're caring about our brother and our sister, then Ela kaporas. Kaporas milashin kapara. That's when we'll have kapara. That's when we'll have atonement. That's when the Eibishter will say, even if we're not doing everything we should do for him, but we're getting along with each other, his children are getting along with each other, I'll give them kapara. I'll give them atonement, which is what we want so badly. And that's so much a part of what should have been a part of Yom Kippur, just as much as the Bein Olam Hakom. But like I said, on Yom Kippur, it's still, maybe in our tefillos, but in action, it's very hard to focus on that. L'maisa on Yom Kippur, we're in shul all day davening. And I believe that's somewhat the transition into Sukkos. There's an incredible Gemara. The Gemara talks about whether you're allowed, first it discusses how by the Dalet Minim on the first day, you're not allowed to borrow somebody else's, you have to only use your own. As the Pasuk says, L'kachtam l'chem b'yom harishon. On the first day it has to be yours. But the Gemara then contrasts that and explains when it comes to the sukkah, that's not so. And the Gemara says, "Daf Chav Zayin Mebeis in sukkah." Although the Chachamim say, "Avo pishamur ein adam yotei de chavaso biyom davarishon belulavo shachadero," even though on the first day of sukkahs you can't use your friend's lulav, it has to be yours. The rest of sukkahs you can, just the first day. However, you can't sit in your friend's sukkah. So for example, if you're invited the first night to another family, the first day to another family, you're allowed to go to their sukkah and eat in their sukkah. It's not a problem. Even though you can't be yotze if you use their lulav and esrog. You need your own lulav and esrog on the first day. Dechsiv, and here's the proof that you could use somebody else's sukkah. Because the Pasuk says, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, every native of Yisrael, yeshu b'sukos, should sit in sukos, melamed, that's the Pasuk, which teaches us, and listen to this language, shekol Yisrael ru'uyim leisha b'sukah achas, that all the Jews could sit in one sukkah, meaning even if it's not yours. That's how the Gemara means to be saying. That we could all sit in one sukkah, even not our own sukkah, because we don't all own that sukkah. But let's take that line in a vacuum. The Gemara seems to be saying Kol Yisrael Ruuyim Leisha Besukah Achas. Kol Yisrael Ruuyim Leisha Besukah Achas. All Jews are fit to sit in one sukkah. Is that possible? Is there a sukkah large enough for all of Klal Yisrael? How many Jews are in the world? What do they say? 13 million about? 13 million? You have a sukkah that's large enough to hold 13 million people? What does it mean? Kol Yisrael ru'uyim leisha besukah achas. Now obviously the Gemara just means in potential. It doesn't mean it literally. It means we're allowed to. We could use somebody else's sukkah. That's all it means to be telling us. But if we take that line at face value, it seems to be saying we're fit to sit in one sukkah. Now I've been in big sukkahs. If you want to go one night, even as women, you can go and appreciate. It's very, very beautiful to go around to Simchas Beis HaShoevas in Brooklyn. Have some of you done that before? It's very beautiful. You could go, for example, you go to Bavov and Munkach. They have women's sections. You go, I don't know how you get there. I don't know, we just see like the little fingers coming through, or I don't know how the women get up there, but there is, you'll figure it out. I don't know. And to see these sukkahs, magnificent sukkahs, and beautiful singing, and it's a beautiful sight. It's worth going to see one night. It's worth going to be a part of. So Bavov, for example. Bavov has a sukkah. Unbelievable. Like even if you, I'm telling you, I could go just to see the sukkah. It's not holding 13 million people. A few thousand maybe. I mean, is it possible to have a sukkah? Kol Yisrael Ruyim Leisha B'sukkah Achas? Obviously that can't be what this means. So I want to suggest that perhaps what the Gemara is telling us on a deeper level is that we should be Ruyim Leisha B'sukkah Achas, meaning a big part of sukkahs is that we should be achas. We should be one. We should have unity. Although on Yom Kippur we didn't have so much opportunity, sukkah is this tremendous time to be with each other. It's a lot of family time. A lot of time we could be with our friends. It's Ben Azmanim. A lot of us are off, at least even if we're not off from jobs. If we're in school, we're off, perhaps. And even if not, we have so much yontif time. And there's a lot more time to interact with each other, to interact with our family, with our siblings, with our parents, with our friends. And therefore, to exercise our bein olam chavera, our achas, our care for each other. That's the avodah of sukkahs as we leave Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, maybe we're more so focused on our bein olam makom. Now it's time to focus on our bein olam chavera, and our care for each other, and our oneness. What do we read on sukkahs? What of the Megillahs do we read on sukkahs? We read Koheles. Koheles is Milashon Kahal, which is a gathering, a oneness, a unity. And if you read through Koheles, it's a lot of chizik, a lot of musr. One of the deep ideas that is said time and time again is the explanation and understanding of HaKol Hevel. To realize everything physical in this world, materialistic in this world, is futile, is nothingness. Our dreams and aspirations of physical luxuries and materialistic desires, Hakol Hevel HaVolim, Shlomo Melech, the wisest of all individuals, teaches us that that's not where our pursuit should be. That's not going to satiate our pursuit of happiness. Hakol Hevel HaVolim, in the physical realm, it's all futile, it's all nothingness. Koheles will happen, will be a consequence of that thought. We just went through Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, if we really were honest and read through the tefillos and we're connecting to Hashem, we also came to this conclusion that HaKol Hevel, we were spiritually bound to Hashem. And we understood the power of Ruchnius, the power of a connection to Hashem. What's the consequence? Koheles. Because what causes us often to stray from each other? Kina, jealousy. Jealousy of each other's, what they have, each other's materialistic wealth, or whatever else it might be. When you come to an understanding in Yom Kippur, and these days of HaKol Hevel, so what's going to be that? What's going to come out of that? What's going to be born out of that understanding? A Koheles, a oneness. I'm no longer holding back from other people. So that's one of the ways that I'm going to work on my Bein Olam Chavero. Recognition, and that's what sukkahs is all about. What is sukkah? We leave our physical realm, we leave our luxurious household, and we go into a shabby sukkah, every one of us, okay, we try to make it nice, but ultimately the Dir of Zarai, a temporary dwelling place, and that's where we live for 7 days. To recognize all this materialism is meaningless. And when I could recognize all the materialism is meaningless, my relationships are elevated to a different level. I care for others in a different way. No longer holding back and jealous of others. But it's true also through the Yom Kippur we come to Sukkot in another way, to this Avodah Ben Olam Chaver through our Ben Olam Makom. Because when we have that same similar value system, meaning on Yom Kippur all of us reconnect to Hashem, revitalize what's important in our life, which is Torah and Mitzvahs. So there's a oneness amongst us. There's a oneness amongst us that therefore has an effect on our Ben Olam Chaver. We are finally Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad in the real way. The Sfas Emes says, very deep idea in Yom Kippur. Sfas Emes says, I'll read you a Lashon, it's in Tafresh and an Aleph in Yom Kippur. Ki be'emes ha'nefashos kroven. The Ger Rebbe, Sfas Emes says, in truth, every one of us is very, very close. Every neshama is very close. We care about each other. We love each other. Every one of us. If we thought about it, really, it has to be that way. We all come from, every one of our neshamas comes from Adam HaRishon. There's Koilel Kol HaNeshamas, included all the neshamas. We're all children of the Ribbono Shalom. Be'emes ha'nefashos krovim. Rak al yedei ha'chatoim ba'haricha kupirid. But through our sins, we cause distance and separation from each other. That's what Sfas Emes says. Sfas Emes says that our sins cause distance amongst us. What does that mean? It means because suddenly now we are different, and now we're going in different paths, and it's no longer Kish Echad B'Lev Echad. So a better time of the year to have oneness amongst each other. Right after Yom Kippur, when we all were doing tshuva, and we all have, as we spoke about together, that mechila and slicha and kapara, where it's a new slate, a new beginning. So we have the ability then to reconnect in our relationships as well, and to get back to that oneness that in essence we all really are. And that's the avodah of Sukkos, I believe, in a real way. To work on our Ben Olam Chaver, to caring for each other, giving to each other, doing for each other, rebuilding their relationships that all year they weren't where they should be. Suddenly now we could rebuild them. We have the ability because we're in a different state based on Yom Kippur. In all the ways we're explaining, we're less inclined towards materialism, and we're more kaddish and tar, and that oneness could come about in a real way. It's emes, it's deep, it's real. And that could be, and that has to be our avodah. The avodah of Sukkos. I remember once reading a story. There was a big tzaddik in Yerushalayim, I don't remember his name, but years ago, in the early years in Yerushalayim of the last generation, that he was a bucky, he was an expert in Dal and Minim. In Lulav Esrog, Adal Maravos, to check them and to know what was kosher, what was not kosher, what was mahudr, what was beautiful. Now everybody would go to him and ask them to check, to see, they go, bring an Esrog. Does the rabbis think this is a mahudr Esrog? It's not. So there's this little boy. This little boy very much wanted for the first time to buy his own Esrog. He came from a very poor family. And he never was able to have an esrog. He was 8, 9 years old. All year, he saved the money to purchase an esrog. All year, he did little things and he put away the money. And right before Sukkos, he was so happy. And he waited, he still didn't have so much money. So he waited for the last day, because then whatever esrogim are left are a little bit cheaper. You have to get rid of them. And he finally got himself an esrog. And it was already Erev Sukkos in the afternoon. He poured an esrog. He was so excited. His first esrog, his esrog. And he knew all the tatis, when they buy an esrog, they go to the Rebbe, this Rav, to check the esrog. So he purchased his first esrog. He wants, he's going to go also. To show him the esrog, feel good, and ask him what he thinks about it. And he goes to his house. And this is already mamish like an hour before Sukkos, because late in the day, you can imagine how crazy it is in the bias in the house before Yontiv, preparing and busy, both Begashmi and Beruchni. And he knocks on the door. He's too young to know it's not the right thing to do at this point, this late in the day, really in an innocent way. And someone answers the door, yes, there's a Rav there. And the Rav was obviously extremely busy, but he quickly comes to the door and he says, can you look at... And the Rav, not because he would have loved to, he just really, mamish, was pressed for time. He quickly looked and said, yeah, it's nice. Like in a very, very quick way, and sent him on his way. And the boy was very upset. Because again, this boy was so young, he didn't even understand. But he was so upset because he was excited. The first time he had an asterisk, to him, this was his whole world. Okay, what can you do? He was asleep that night. The next morning, early in the morning, the boy's still home. He didn't go to shul yet. It's maybe 8:30 in the morning, whatever it is. And there's a knock on the door. And his mother gets the door. And the Rav is at his doorsteps. And the Rav says, can I see your son? I came to see your son. And the mother goes and gets her son. And the son couldn't believe the Rav came to see him. He says, listen, yesterday he came to me. It was right before Yontov. I apologize. I felt terrible all night. I didn't have the proper time to look at your Esrog, to really give it the right time. So before you use it for the first time, I want to look at it. And he takes the Esrog and he looks at this Esrog. And he says, this is the most beautiful Esrog. Wow, you were Zohar, such a Mahudar Esrog, such a beautiful Esrog. He says, it's so beautiful. This is what the Rav says, it's so beautiful. I want you to do me a favor. If you'll do this for me, you'll use it today. Tomorrow, could you come trade with me? I'll give you my Esrog and I want to use your Esrog for the rest of the Sukkos. And the boy was mom shining at this point. He had a smile you can imagine from one end of the world to the other. The Rav comes to him, spends time with him to look at his Esrog, now wants to give him his own Esrog and use his Esrog. His mamish can imagine the schus. The Rav's going to use his Esrog. Right? The halacha, there's a halacha by Kedushin, by halachic engagement. B'shataiva, by each and every one of you, you're going to get engaged under your chuppah in the right time with the right person, b'shataiva. And your chazan's going to take a ring and put it on your finger. Say, all right, m'kadesh l'b'zazu, because that's why she's sorel in front of Edom, right? The halacha is that a man has to give a woman something, right? If we are m'kadesh through kesef, through money or the value of money. A woman can't give the man something. Okay, maybe in these liberal, crazy worlds, they try to do these things in double ring ceremonies. La halacha, it doesn't work that way, right? We all know that. La halacha, the man has to give the woman something to be makna, to be makadesh, to get engaged to his wife. But there's one case in the Gemara that talks about if the husband's an adam gadol, a tzaddik, the woman could give to the husband and get engaged. Because when a person gives something to a tzaddik or gadol, and they accept it, you have more benefit from that than even the tzaddik. You're so excited. Wow, I gave something to tzaddik that the tzaddik enjoys and has. You gain more benefit from the fact that you gave him something, right? So really, when the woman gives it to that person, the woman's the one who ultimately benefits. Meaning the ikar is the woman should gain the hanah, should gain the benefit. So usually the man has to give to the woman for the woman to benefit. Here, if you're giving to someone who's so special, you're giving, you benefit more. So to hear, this boy, it's interesting, halacha, by the way. But anyways, this boy felt so good, he's going to give the esrog to this tzaddik. He's going to shine for the rest of his life. He'll be able to tell for the rest of his life, Rabbi Yitzchak, whatever the tzaddik's name was, used my esrog that year. He'll be telling his grandchildren such a story. But here's such a story. You hear this Rav? This was an 8-9-year-old boy. He had no achrayus to go at his house and do this for him. But he understood he'll make him feel good. And he understood that maybe he wasn't so happy with the way he treated him the night before, even though, let's be real, we all understand that that's what he had to do at that time. But that's the avodah of Sukkos. The avodah of Sukkos, more than the alamidim and more than all the halachas, is our Bein Olam Chaveiro. He's showing the Rabbeinu Shalom, we have this new Achdus that started through the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and now we can finally practice it. Now we can finally live it. And that's the Dalet Minim as well. There's a very famous Medrash. I'm going to read it to you. I'm sure you all heard this Medrash before. I don't know if you ever heard it inside. talks about the Dalal meaning as follows. Priyei Tadar, which is the Esrog. Eilu Yisrael, this is us. Ma Esrog Zeh Yesh Bo Tam V'Yesh Bo Reach. An Esrog has smell and taste. Kach Yisrael Yesh Bem B'nei Adam Sheyesh Bem Torah V'Yesh Bem Masim Tovim. There are Jews, the Esrog is the big Tzadikim Tzikanios, who have Torah and good deeds. Kapos Tamarim, the Lulav. It's also Jews, Eilu Yisrael. Ma Tamar Zeh Yesh Bo Tam V'Yesh Bo Reach. The dates have a good taste, but they don't have a good smell. Kachem Yisrael, Yesh Bem Torah, they ain't Bem Masim Tovim. Those are Jews that have Torah, that's the taste, but they don't have Masim Tovim, they don't have the smell, they don't have the good deeds. Va'anav Eitzavos, Eil Yisrael, that's the Hadassim, that's also Jews. Ma Hadass Yesh Bo Reach Bein Bo Tam, it has smell and no taste. Hadassim smell very nice, people use them for Pesamim, it doesn't have any taste. They're Jews that do acts of chesed and ma'asim tovim and good deeds, but don't learn at all. So they have smell and no taste. The aravos eil yisrael ma aravos who ein bo tam v'boreach. Aravos have no taste, have no smell. Kachem yisrael yesh bem b'nei adam sheim bem lo torah v'lo ma'asim tovim. There are also Jews who have no Torah and no mitzvos. Lo aleinu, God forbid. So the Arba Minim, the Lulav Esrog, Hadassim, and Aravos represent four types of Jews. Every type of Jew there is. But what do we do on Sukkos? We bring them all together. We have Achdus. You know what's amazing? Even if you have an Esrog represents a Tzadik, Tzadekes, Torah, Umasim, Toivim, taste and smell. Esrog, if you take an Esrog by itself, you know what mitzvah you've done? Nothing. Now you did 1/4 of the mitzvah. You've done nothing. Only if you have all four together, only if there's achdus amongst all the Jews, is there a mitzvah on Sukkos. In fact, it's an amazing remez l'davar from the Be'er Heitev brings down. Esrog is gematria 610. Esrog is 610. It's not good enough, right? Because we have 613 mitzvahs. So you have 610, you need three more. You need the lulav, hadassim, and aravos. To be mashlim, to perfect, you need it all together. The esrog by itself is 610, you need three other minim. So 610 plus the three minim is 613. But the avodah is to realize on Sukkot that we're all one, and we're coming together. We're coming together, and we have achdus. And realize alone, we could accomplish nothing. And I know sometimes, there's a following fear. And I get asked this all the time. Especially by those who are benois Torah like yourselves. So we all have in our life, family members, friends, they may not be holding in a similar place that we're holding, Beruchnias, Biktusha, Fatara, don't have the same sheifas, the yearnings that we have. And we have friends that want to hang out with us maybe on a Matzah Shabbos Kodesh, but they don't know like we do. We come to learn together Matzah Shabbos. They think it's Saturday night, and they're involved in other activities. Okay, not the Chas Shalom, we'd be involved in anything that was bad. But it's even a chshayla how much time to spend with such people, and will that ultimately have a negative effect on us. And that could be with friends, that could be with family members. We're trying to be a certain type of person, and we're afraid sometimes to be with others that might hold us back, and might push us down. True achdus, we just learned, should be everybody together. There should be no judgment. The esrog is together with the arava, which is the yid that's ein bo tam ve'ein bo reach, has no taste, no smell, no Torah, no zmas, no toivim. But I'm afraid. I get this all the time. I'm afraid. So listen to this incredible Torah. We read Koheles. This is from Koheles in Perek Dalet. Pesukim Tes in Yud. The Pasuk says, Toivim Hashnayim in Echad. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. Asher Yeshlam Schar Tov Ba'malam. They get a lot of reward for their hard work. Ki im yiplu echad, yakim es chavero, Because if one of them falls, the other one will help him stand back up. If you're alone and you fall, it's very dangerous. But two, if you're two together, if one falls, the other one will help them back up. V'ilo echad yipol, but if one is by themselves and fall, they ain't sheni lakimo, there's no one else to hold him, to pick him back up. It's very dangerous. What's the obvious, Shaila? Listen to the beginning of that pasuk. Now, just to focus on it. The pasuk just says, yep, tovim shnayim and echad, two is better than one. It's better to be together. Ki im yiplu, yipolu, I'm sorry. Ki im yipolu echad, yakim et chaveru. If one of them falls, the other one will get him back up. Ki im yipolu ha'echad. What's the shaila? Thank you. Beautiful, right? A little dikduk tells us, we all know, that yipolu is blushin rabim. Yet it says, ki im yipolu ha'echad. If one of them falls, it should be ki im yipolu ha'echad. Right? Why is it ki im yipolu ha'echad? If one of them falls, the other one will get him back up. So I saw from Reb Melech Biderman in his sefer on all of Tishrei, but specifically this part on Sukkos. He says it's true sometimes that when you're with a friend and you're someone that might not be holding in the place that you are, that person falling will also perhaps cause you to fall a little bit. Kim yipolu echad, it's really obvious, it's one that's majorly falling, but it's going to end up being yipolu. It's going to end up being that you'll both fall a little bit. It's going to end up a little bit that you may fall, and you're afraid of that. The pasuk still says, tovim shnayim and echad. Don't be afraid. The Eibishter wants you to be by their side. You'll pick them up more than you're going to fall. As the pasuk says, yikomo echad, the other one, the chavero will pick it back up. Don't be so concerned with your falling. You'll get right back up very, very quickly. If you're caring for others and your avodah is to give to others and your avodah is to care for others, don't worry about your falling. And we have to be there for others and care for others. And come in that achdus of the dalet minim, even with the harava and with the lulav, with the hadasim, and be by each other's sides and be one. By the way, and that doesn't mean, I know we're just going to explain, it doesn't mean necessarily, chas v'shalom, that means we should take it in the wrong way, that we're looking to go around being everyone's Rebbe Mashgiach and going and all sukkahs long giving mussar to our whole, that's not chas v'shalom, being with them so we can give them mussar. Being with them just means being with them. The biggest way we could ever pick somebody up, like we just read, is just by being with them and them absorbing who we are. You'll rub off on them. Nobody's looking, especially in our dar, in our generation, nobody wants to be told what to do. Nobody wants to hear it in that way. But if you are with, and you spend time in a loving, with unconditional love, with your family members, with your friends, with whoever it might be, and you just stand up tall to who you are, not ever lowering yourself as a bas Torah, in your Shemayim, in your Avas Hashem, in the way that you make a bracha, you don't make a different bracha because you're in front of certain people, you make the same slow bracha that you'd make even if you weren't with those people. And you don't dress differently, and you dress, even if you know you're going out with friends and they're going to dress in a way that you dress exactly with the same sneas that you'd always dress. And you hold yourself in the same way, in every way. That's how you'll rub off and be mekadesh and lift them up in a beautiful way. Tovim shnayim and echad. And that's our avoda. To care for others, give to others, to be one with every Jew. I think that's what the Rebbeinu Shem wanted me to know as I was leaving Eretz Yisrael. You know, leaving Eretz Yisrael is always very, very hard. Always hard. Leaving home is hard. Especially a Yom Kippur steps from Har Habayis and have to come back to Chutz Lars to New York. It's like, what am I doing, really? It's like, from the holiest day in the holiest place to the five towns, you know? It's like, you know, Baruch Hashem, I say this Baruch Hashem, I wasn't with my family, so I have at least excitement to come back, to see my kids, and to be with my wife, and to be something that I'm coming back towards. And to give shir here. And to give shir, of course, Lisa, okay. True. True, of course. That's why we're giving shir. Emes. knew it's a hard night to give shir. Erev Yontif, a lot of people doing. Half the people we know are in Eretz Yisrael. And we're allowed, that we can have kinnah for. You're allowed to have jealousy for that. That's called kinnah sofrim. You're allowed to have kinnah for Ruchnias. I mean, every year I go for Baruch Hashem, I have the biggest chus to go for Yom Kippur. But I'm always going for Yom Kippur, and I'm on my flight with like tons of full families going for the next 2 weeks. And I know I'm just going for Yom Kippur. And Mamash, I have a lot of kinnah. I have a lot of kinnah. Tell my wife, go. I texted her from the line at the airport, please go play the lottery so next year we could all come together, you know? So when I was leaving Eretz Yisrael, I think the Rebbe Nachman gave me a lot of chizik in this area of what Sukkot is for and what our avodah is for in Sukkot. And in this following, I went to return my car. It's crazy. It was Nisa made the flight. I was running very, very late. It's another story for another time. But so I go to return the car, and then you have to wait for the van to go to take you to the gate. And I'm waiting there, and there was myself. There was another chassid that was there for Yom Kippur. And then there was this whole family, which were chilonim, non-from Jews, going away on vacation now. I mean, it's Matzah Yom Kippur, like the airport was crazy packed. It's nuts, because all the Israeli schools have off. All of Eretz Yisrael's off. So it's a time also for vacation for those who... Anyway, so this family looked like very nice people. So we're waiting together, this family. It's probably like four kids and parents and myself and this chassid waiting for the van to take us. And the van finally comes. We're putting all the luggage on and all their kids get on. And then there's like the seat behind the driver have two spaces. And then there's three of us left, the father of this family, myself and this chassid. There's two spaces right behind the driver and then the seat next to the driver. So the father is about to get in, and then he says, "Oh, you two are together. You two are together, so you guys could sit over here. I'll go in the front." So I said to him, "Emes, you know, I said to him, I'm as much together with him as I am with you." And I said to him, "You have to realize we're all together. Kulanu biyachad. We're all Yidden. We're all brothers. We're all one. If you want to sit with him, you can sit with him. If you want to sit with me, you can sit with me. Whatever you'd like. But realize, we're all one." And he gave me a very big smile. He says, "Ken the emet." And the emet is, it was a beautiful feeling. Recognize here, this is Chassidus Yid, myself, this family. We're all going in this van together. Minutes after Yom Kippur. And the emet is, we're all one. And just like all those 100,000 Yidden at the Kaisel, we're all one. We're all one, and we have to feel that. And we have to feel the oneness with our families, with our friends, with all of Klal Yisrael. None of us are better than anyone else. No one knows from the Eibishter who's on a different level and who's has different nisyonos and different. But all that, none of that matters. We're one. And we have to care for every Yid and give to every Yid and be close to every Yid and have that achdus of the Dalad Minim, not judging any Yid who has Tam, who has Reach. Doesn't matter. You have your Esrog, your Lulav, and your Adasim, which you all have at least something. And you don't have your Aravos, you're not Yoytze the Mitzvah. Finished. No Mitzvah, zero credit. Not 75% you got. We need the Achdus with Gantz Klal Yisrael, every member of Klal Yisrael. Every Jew is precious. Every Jew is special. To care for every Yid, to give to every Yid. I saw, brought down, that's why the Torah starts with the Beis. Beis is Bracha. That's what the Gemara says. So Chazal teach us. But Beis is two. One, if it started with an Aleph, would be Arur, would be cursed. Because one by themselves is never good. We need to be together. That's when we'll have Bracha in our life. In fact, it's incredible. From Chaim Shulevitz, he explains, we just davened for so many days that we should be in the Sifri Chaim. We give each other brachas. You have a life of Chaim. Chaim is plural. I'm telling someone they should be Zoicha to Chaim. You should be Zoicha to Chai. What do you mean to Chaim? So Chaim Shalom says, if you're alone, that's not a life. There's no chias when you're alone. Life has to be plural. Life has to be only Chaim. Because it has to be you with others. It's the only time we feel alive. It's the only time we are alive. And have these relationships. You know, I was on the plane to Eretz Yisrael. There was a woman sitting next to me, talking to me. I'm not going to explain any of the situation. But she was mamish crying to me that she felt so alone in life. She felt so, for various reasons, she felt so alone. And she had the rights to feel alone in her life. I was trying to be mechazik her that, you know, we're never alone. First of all, the Rabbeinu Shalom is by our side always. Rabbeinu Shalom is by our side always. But no yid should ever feel alone. Because every yid should have every other yid that cares about them and is one with them and has relationships with them. Family and friends. This woman has family. She has children. She has... That they should make her feel alone. Chas v'shalom. And we as well, we have to make sure. We have to make sure that we're never making someone else feel alone in our lives. And giving to others and caring for others, with our family, with our friends. Being mashpia on others just by being with them. You'll see you'll influence others and bring others up just by being with them. And don't worry, you're not going to fall. You're not going to fall, as we just learned from Kohelis. Tov shnayim min ha'echad. Even if you think yipolu, you're not going to fall. And that's the avoid of Sukkos. The avoid of Sukkos is to care for others, to give to others. To be zoiche to work on our ben al machavero. And it has to be through exercise of ben al machavero. Can't just be learning svarim. I learn avas chesed, I learn rachas adikim. The only way we grow is we actually do it. And make sure that we're doing it. So Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we should be zoiche. We should be zoiche. Zoiche that all the kapara and all the tahara of Yom Kippur should stay with us. Realize, isha halacha v'al pnei ha-kapiras. If we want that kapara to stay with us, it has to be isha halachav. When we're caring of each other, Rabbeinu Shem sees my children care about each other, I'll keep them in a state of kedusha, in a state of tahara. And not only that, it makes so much sense, we all know. And we're all yearning, you know, talking about Eretz Yisrael a little on my trip that I was just there, we're all yearning to be there, we all want to be there. And there's going to be a day when we're all brought there. And why are we not there? We all know why we're not there. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's why we're not here today, is because of that. And that was because of Sinas Chinam. Because the Eibishter doesn't want to be amongst us in the way that it represented by Beis HaMikdash, when we're not getting along with each other. When we're not giving to each other and caring to each other. The Rebbeinu Shem says, that's not my children that I want to be amongst. So if we take our chesugos to another level, and work on our benel machaveir, our care for each other. Not only will we be zoiche to the kapara al pnei kaporas, not only will we be zoiche to such simcha and the feeling of togetherness, of hakel, of koheles, but then the Rebbeinu Shem will say, oh, my children are getting along, my children love each other. It doesn't matter if they're an esrog or they're a rav or a lulav or a dasim, they love each other, they're one. That's the type of children I want to be amongst. That's when we'll have binyan beis hamikdash. Harachem onu yakum lanu asukas David anofalas. We'll be zayich to binyan beis hamikdash gula shleima b'mehera b'yameinu. I wish you have a beautiful, heiliga, amazing Yom Tov.